I'll date the tape. This is the 18th of February, 1993. We're gathered for a business meeting at the bookstore. Greetings, Commander.
Good morning, Commander Light. In spite of what you hear about my removal from here, or my demise, it's greatly exaggerated. I've gone nowhere. In our efforts not to be secretive, and the things that are taking place so rapidly, we called this meeting on very, very short notice. Ones of you who are pressured by the shutdown until we can evaluate our moves. You all deserve to hear what's going on. I wanted the ones who had been called to visit with George present, because this is going to be very difficult for them. Leon is absolutely right. There is enough bashing going on. And yet, we don't really have any alternative. Our efforts are to handle what has come forth in a civil matter is being greatly thwarted. Actions from Carson City are continuing unabated. Efforts to speak are being refused.
John is driving up now.
Then we'll certainly wait to go into the documentation. You're going to hear some information. Because of the weather situation in Reno, only the investigator made it to Reno. The attorneys on the way there, and we may have to abort the entire issue because George is on his way or plans to attend the National Institute of Health meeting in Southern California. And Mr. Tipps will probably see him there. It has gone beyond the ability of us to simply handle this in this location. There is no way to word this. Alleged sounds good. Possibly sounds good. You're going to have to know that investigations have been going on for some time. Mr. Green knows that. Mr. Green was attached to the Naval Intelligence Service. There was a large incident concerning him some years back with the Marines. And there were times when it didn't look like Mr. Green was going to make it because his enemies were after him so strongly. What has happened as far as emotionally is concerned is not my business to discuss. What, however, I must discuss in this group, because you ones have given, served, most without remuneration, most of you having made contributions of varying and sundry sizes. And you must know what has been found. Embezzlement sounds harsh.
John and Eleanor are coming now. We'll go to pause.
Briefly, to you two. Rather than just sit here and twiddle our thumbs until you could get here, and I'm very, very sorry, Bud is not here yet. The situation is far worse than, regardless of what you thought it could be, is worse. The very thing you thought was bad and have been led to believe is bad is proving to be sound, sturdy, steady, and handled completely correctly. The reason that Mr. Green would suggest and urge you to take out your money in gold is because of the plan that he had laid. Mr. Green has taken with him for security approximately $725,000 in gold from this place. And he would want the authorities to believe that he turned that over and that that would be all that would be left. Only he would not put it at that price, because the agreement was with the one with whom he was, quote, taking, from whom he was taking the money. Now, I want to tell you that this is not hearsay. This is gold in Krugerrands, other minted coins, having been shipped via Mr. Green to the Institute back in 1991 for proven packages. The stated value would be approximately $350,000 at the time, because Mr. Green had made a deal that he could, quote, roll over this money and hide all taxes, etc., if the amount were lowered. The facts are, all you have to do is measure the weight times the going price, even in a bad market, and it is well over $600,000. The reason the investigator and the attorneys and an attorney in Reno were going to reason with Mr. Green before this had to be made public, this is embezzlement. This is criminal felony embezzlement. Not only were the funds or the gold not turned over to the Institute or any legitimate record, it was kept absolutely secret. Mr. Green was a member, and still is a member, of the board of directors of the Institute. He also had, as vice president, signature rights on the bank account, which was basically closed out so that if he even checked, there would show no balance. So obviously he has been diligent in trying to find out if there were in fact any assets here. I told you in the beginning assets would be managed in such a way as to be protected and never would very much ever be shown in any bank account, any one bank account. The little scheme, it is not a little scheme, it is a massive scheme, has backfired. And the one I feel probably has a worse hurt this morning is because Leon came here, and he just reiterated this in a letter to the board this week. I came here because of George and Desiree. I heard them. I invested because of them. And he feels this loyalty toward them. I don't know if we can even keep this at a civil level. The reason that we wish to keep it at a civil level is because since 1991, ones have been sending in other coins and things. We don't know how many. We're going to have to publicly ask the readers, how many of you, who are you, if you have directed funds through America West to go to the Institute or any other, because we already know of at least one large check at this Christmas time that never was delivered to the Constitutional Law Center, and it was routed through America West. Who is involved? Obviously, all attached become involved when it turns into a federal case. The hope was that there could be some reasoning with Mr. Green, because we all, most of us in this room, know Ginger Brady. She had turned over into the care and keeping and security of Mr. Green $75,000 in gold. I know that all of you had a very hard time dealing with what happened with Barbara Ann Rubio, and yet the only thing that has saved Barbara Ann Rubio's money is the way we handled it. Mr. Green and Mr. Coleman were in cahoots. This is going to be a shocker to most of you. Mr. Green did, in fact, give Dr. Coleman, Mr. Pavlonsky, computer equipment that belonged to the Institute.
Well, Bud has found this.
Good, Bud, thank you. I won't bore this audience with catching you up. You're just going to get caught off unawares. It's very hard to face these things, but you could see it coming. Don't lie to me and tell me that you could not see this coming. When it came time for George to make this transfer to Carson City, you could see he was honed in as if the world were going to end if he didn't make that trip. When he really began to get nervous, when there was talk of gold and investments and project funding, he had to leave here. He had to get it out of here. He was carrying around in boxes at least the sum of over $600,000 in UPS parcels. Now, if Hatton is over there, I want no part of him. I don't like their Hatton. If Hatton is giving him instructions, then I don't like him. This man has made calls absolutely all over this world, and you're going to find them showing up on your phone bill.
They better not.
Oh, my dear. Anyone from the Liberator want to make a statement about the phone bill and what calls show up on it because they forgot to transfer the address. He's headed down to the National Institute of Health to make his last blast to tell everybody at the Institute of Health what's going on with Gondriana. He will destroy Wendell Hoffman if he can. Wendell's already clashed with the federal boys. Remember, they came in, raided his place, took a bulldozer and rolled over $100,000 worth of vitamin pills into the dirt, tore up all of the facility, and put a court requirement against this man that he could not even go to his own place of business, even after it was rebuilt. Fun games, right? Well, your friend George is down there this weekend if he can get out of Reno. He's already made calls to Canada, everywhere. Don't take this stuff they're selling. It's dangerous. Half the people he's telling is nothing but water. The other half he's telling is very dangerous. And he's going to try to get ones from that Institute of Health to shut it down. So I didn't have the privilege of waiting until the weekend even to see how this could kind of work out today because of the inclement weather there. I will repeat for you ones who were not here, the private investigator is in Reno this moment. The attorney, I don't even know that he will make it to Reno. There is a 5-hour delay from Sacramento to Reno. The Reno airport is snowed in. And there's fog, there's every kind of bad weather. And so that airport is just open for a few minutes and closed, open and closed. And the investigator did get in. EJ might want to make a little bit of a report. I don't think there's any report to be made. I assume that he will get in touch with the attorney in California to see whether or not there will even be a meeting over there, but probably will hook him up with the attorney that is waiting in Reno. For your own satisfaction, because I don't go around in secretive, clandestine manners, I've warned everybody. You can try to hide from me. I will never tell your secrets unless you use your secrets against me, your brother, or this mission. What you do is none of my business. My business is to bring the word, to fulfill my mission, to get enough projects done to make a transition here. Nothing's changed, nothing's off. Look at LA today. They are geared up, they have moved in the National Guard, they have secreted the jurors, which is totally unconstitutional in the King case. They are so prepared for a war in LA that they have stockpiled ammunition. The National Guard is on alert in active training. They have over 10,000 UN troops out at Fort Irwin, out of Barstow. They have razor wire. They are going to, the minute the riots start, they are going to enclose the Rose Bowl. You're in serious trouble. And the word needs to get out. Your enemies are at work. I'm going to ask EJ for your verification because as of yet we're unable to gather up all of the information on all of the transactions that have been made. But for your edification and for your reasoning, I don't think you will have seen very many ones from here shopping at Neiman Marcus or driving a town car. Now, I'm sorry. Read the letter from Dave.
All right. This is dated February the 13th. Dear E.J., many thanks for the Hatton transcripts, letter copies, and tape involving George Green et al. Against the Phoenix Institute participants. The last time I talked to George was about a year ago, and by this time I'm sure he won't call me about the Institute. Enclosed is my list of four UPS cartons I sent George July 91 to October 91 that were gifts to the Institute. George said he would roll them over with no records and they wouldn't be a sale or loan from me. I didn't want to sell them to a buyer and then send a gift check to the Institute. These have nothing to do with the checks I sent through you, which were straightforward loans signed by you. Above cartons had a value of roughly $350,000. I assumed that you would know about it from George. The information concerning George and Desiree is, of course, a hell of a shock to me, and I love them very much. So what's new, the adversary never quits. This turnaround suggests the possibility that the elite has replaced George with a replica robotoid synthetic Hatton has told us about in the journals concerning Kissinger, Bush, etc. This would be fun to know about. Hatton may already know, of course, but he couldn't put this in the Liberator for all the readers at this time. I have no family and am living on my pensions as long as pensions last. The journals and Liberators that I have are beyond price to me, and I'd be glad to turn my loans over to the Institute as gifts with no future return to me. It is proper and feasible. Correction. Is it proper and feasible for the Institute for me to return the original promissory note signed by you and me with no records concerning me? You or your constitutional law attorney should know if this can be set up. Just received the biggest America West catalog I've seen. It has 12 pages. Phoenix Journal books and information and lists, plus about 40 of their regular books, but no Liberator subscription offer, of course. Hug Doris again and tell her she is greatly loved, and our Aton is with you too, my friend. Best regards, Dave. And there is a list of the gold that he sent, and package number one was 265 Austrian coronas and Hungarian coronas. Package number two was 400 Austrian coronas. Package number three was 100 Austrian coronas plus 50 Krugerrands. And package number four was 985 British sovereigns. He said one or two were confirmed by United Parcel Service return receipt signed by Rick Martin. The others were confirmed by phone call from George to me. We telephoned him yesterday to see if he would like us to follow up properly, and he said he would. So we sent him down a power of attorney, which he returned with this following letter this morning. Dear E.J., my car quit dead yesterday, 5 p.m. traffic, right after you called, and I couldn't walk to the copy place to receive your fax. So I phoned them where I was stuck, and the copy man was good enough to meet me. He was closing and brought the fax to me on his way home. Wonderfully kind man. After 3 hours of shivering in the cold, I found a friend who helped me get my car started. Finally got home about 9. Searched my files. No receipts of the UPS shipments. I bought them more than 5 years. I think he's referring to the coins now. He said, I bought them more than 5 years ago. And limit to a gift without IRS tax was $10,000, I think. Maybe the legal status of the Institute changes things, or is it immaterial? I have no CDs, stocks, bonds, etc. to be sold in case of emergency even. My average saving and checking account runs a couple of thousand. I know no lawyer to help with the tax. Call me anytime, of course. Dave Overton.
Can you believe that? That this would stick this man with taxes on $600,000 and leave him no way to pay it? George has also spread out the word that he gets word continually from sources here. So if those sources are present, warning him so that he will do something even more foolish is not indeed going to be a friendly gesture. And it will be back to this group within 10 minutes. That's up to whoever wishes to call him. You're going to find before this is over that there's going to be well over $1 million involved. If it had been the simple $300,000 or the $75,000, and our hope is that he was utilizing Ginger's gold as the showpiece. But you see, it's not going to sell very well, because when Charles and the group packed him up to move him, the gold was there because they moved the boxes. Rick recalls the day and the times that he got the UPS packages, and George about had a hemorrhage. He was not in the office. And he quickly gathered them up and secreted them away. Will he be able to talk his way out of it? So far, he has been able to talk his way out of about everything, hasn't he? And if he is indeed a member of the intelligence service efforting to shut this place down, he's got a massive problem in hand. Everything has been done absolutely, meticulously, according to law. So shutting it down has not worked well. Discounting it is only working worse. He is a desperate man. Under those circumstances, I consider him a dangerous man. To the extent I felt it not wise to even wait until the weekend for this meeting, at which point I would have attorneys and investigators here to explain this to you. Is there anything that anyone would like to add? Would you like to hear from Rick to verify that that this is true.
Could we mention something?
Please.
George Green called Eleanor one morning. It was about 11 o'clock. He tried to get her to talk to him, but she wouldn't talk to him.
Well, I told him that we were just leaving. And we were. I wasn't lying, but I didn't want to talk to him either. And I asked him what he wanted. I didn't get an answer to that.
So he was trying to make contact.
Is that recently, you mean?
This week.
I see.
I don't know who else he tried that to him. I don't know.
Well, for you ones that are in the midst of this, efforts are being made. I believe that court has removed Dorman Oberly from, I don't know from who all. The request was that each of you wanted them removed from your corporate documents. And I believe that that probably has been done, at least in the case of Leon. Other arrangements are being efforted to be made. Of course, the most reasonable and beautiful way to handle this would be able to give it back to you in gold, because obviously the gold assets are there. The demand note to release documents so that we can get on about our business has been denied. He is refusing to either respond to the court or to the demand letters to release even a portion of the inventory or make any arrangement for the note. This is beyond serious. This is not petty pennies from petty cash. And yet, the moment that it's turned over to a federal court, all assets will be tied up. There's no way to prevent it, if in fact they can find it. I will tell you now, has moved a great deal of it. And it's going to be very hard. And yet he is running extremely scared. He knows he's wide open. How much Desiree knows is what a conniving man would allow her to know. And he would not want to be embarrassed in front of her, not to be able to continue to supply the style of living that they had grown very accustomed to. So arrangements will be made as quickly as possible to satisfy your demands. Please understand, this changes the problem. If we're able to retrieve the gold, it takes away the problem. It's going to be very difficult to sell. I'm sorry. Yes.
Briefly reiterate what happened to Dave Overton's gold for the people who just got here. Just kind of briefly tell them what happened.
It was delivered to George for handling to roll over. Apparently, wait, now, let me back up. It's not like this gold came out of the blue. Dave had talked with EJ. He had settled some estate things. He was sitting with gold. He is single, no family. He is now receiving a pension. He wanted to come out and participate, but he just didn't feel he'd probably ever move from Austin, frankly. And he wanted to share in the work. He wanted to get money into the institute. He had gold purchased, and he was sitting on it. It would be a massive tax if he sold it, and then he would send a check or draft to the institute. How was the best way to handle it? And George said, oh, send it to me. I can roll it over, and I can handle it without any loss at all. And then there was no more communication about that. As a matter of fact, in the process, to put it even more unreasonable that you would question it, his transactions, he was in the middle of making some other arrangements, and he has put some money into the Institute. He sent a check into the Institute for, I don't know, I haven't checked, but a relatively small amount, but several thousand dollars, and he sent a $1,000 check to Desiree personally, and then he sent a $1,000 check to Dorma. And I think it's very interesting to note that Dorma's was signed over immediately to the Institute, and he was given a note against that also. I have no comment as to what else. He has sent some very small checks, love gifts, $100, $50, something like that, in appreciation. There was no really reason to question it. It was a great offer. When nothing showed up, it was assumed that there were changes of mind, changes of circumstance, just changes. So you can imagine the shock to these ones when this began to break, to find that what is the equivalent of over $600,000 in gold coins were sent by UPS packages and received confirmed by George Green. So what newcomers into the room have to face is that Mr. Green is sitting on probably over $1 million of monies that were sent for the Institute, and I find it just a little bit annoying that he has sent his letter out to everyone saying he has over $500,000 into this project around here. He suffered all this. I mean, in his graciousness, he left, quote, over $80,000 worth of books, our books, with Liberator, and they have been paying him. You know, I mean, we don't get a break just because we're a distributor any more than the other distributor. And he said that he left $180,000 worth of books with Tatchby Distributing, which is Rick Martin's company, and those books, of course, reside with the court. He's telling everybody that those books have been released to him. Well, he does have a deal with the University of Science and Philosophy, and I might tell you that this, all of you who are great Russell fans, and Lyle Russell fans, you better get nervous now. Not only was Walter Russell's work taken, and they pronounced him a humanist, but they took over that little, quote, foundation and institute. They've turned it into a shrine to Lyle Russell and this New Age humanistic approach. They're not interested in doing anything with Walter Russell's scientific work except bury it. And Prince Philip of England just spent time out at that wonderful house. I'm sure that that means it's really godly. Well, God may have been voted out here, but I'm sorry he didn't go. But there are a lot of places around Towting to have him, and he ain't there. Is there anything else we should cover while we're here? This is simply an information meeting.
burger that we sent him was all
the books still available?
No. They are banned. No. 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 We have one. You shared one from 1927. Nothing will happen to it.
Because there's
No, that's secure.
Just a minor correction. I think it's Prince Charles.
Oh, I said Philip. I'm sorry. It was the one, you know, visiting the property over here lately in the black robe with the gold draped stripes and things. Any questions, any comments? I don't want to keep this meeting very long. I think we should have another meeting on the weekend. All right, please. He's worked a deal with the University of Science and Philosophy, so they won't close him down, but he's in massive trouble because he's been making personal phone calls to their attorney, not even via his, and he has told the world that the court didn't want those books, and he has them. He was going to send somebody over to pick them up if they don't want the books. Well, of course, Mr. Martin delivered the books. The books are not Mr. Green's. And had to be distributing, delivered the books to the court, and they were signed for. So if and when that court makes a move, and they have been notified, and so has the attorney for the University of Science and Philosophy, that if anybody touches those books, they're dead meat. No, this was being set up so that, Dorma would get Dorma and EJ would get full responsibility for his sales. It's backfired. And now, you know, there's some very upset attorneys because what Mr. Green has told Mr. Tipps, for instance, was that those books were his, and he had early on asked Mr. Tipps to write a stipulation releasing those books. Well, under the information that Mr. Green was giving Mr. Tipps, and what Mr. Green was acting on and telling ones, was that Mr. Tipps sent a stipulation to release all but four of those volumes, that he had made arrangements and all but four of those nine volumes were no longer a problem to the University of Science and Philosophy, and he was going to get them. Well, of course, this did not make it. Oh, and further, you see, when he was sending his letters around, he denied that he had refused to take them. Well, I believe that John Henson would take a little exception to that. He spent quite a bit of time trying to dump them off on America West, and they refused to take them. So it took the better part of 2 days to get this taken care of, and those books securely and safely turned over and inventoried and signed for at federal court in Fresno, where they reside, as does the attorney. Now, he's upset because they were making deals in Virginia, and he was not privy to it, and so it's Shockville all over. And it has not endeared George to anyone. It's very, very awkward. And yet he will not honor the release of any of those volumes, even to come down here so that people can order them from here. So all of the journals, effectively, unless you go and order them from America West, or they're tied up. You can only get them from America West or the distributors that might have a few copies. There are a few copies here for Ken's benefit. It was deemed that it would be better to bring them back over into here and get them out of his care, so that he's not in that loop.
Amanda, may I say something for you?
Please.
Because I am a seeker of truth. I want truth no matter what. And so I listen to George. I listen to you. If you say something that doesn't hit me right in here, it bothers me. For a long time, I never said anything. I kept quiet. Because you, being a representative of God, I feel you won't do this. You wouldn't lie to us. And yet I found discrepancies in your words that come out. And I would like to ask at this time, because I heard George make his statement of the books being delivered, I would like to hear John Hansen exactly what occurred and what was said to John.
Please, let's just do it this way, Leon. I'm a representative of God, so are you. See, let's be... Never has anyone been asked in here to sit as a robotoid and absorb. Please, don't do that.
That was me. I'm sorry, sir.
I know, Leon. I don't want... Brother, my heart hurts. I understand. I hear you. And I think that we should do this. I really think that we should do this. I want the confirmation to come from ones involved. There is no offense, Leon. None.
King's X, we need to turn the tape.